From NPR News, I'm Tony Cox. Each waking moment of the day, we make decisions. Sometimes we mull them over, weighing the pros and cons until we come up with a solution, but mostly impulse and intuition drive decision-making. Snap judgments, the ones we make in a heartbeat on the basis of very little information, so intrigue author Malcolm Gladwell that they've become the focus of his new book titled Blink, The Power of Thinking Without Thinking. He recently joined reporter Allison Keyes in our New York bureau to talk about the blink phenomenon.
Blink refers to the kind of thinking that takes place in the blink of an eye. You know, we have two modes of making sense of our world. One is the kind of deliberate, conscious, logical, drawn-out thinking that we're very familiar with. But the other is the stuff that goes on in a snap. You know, I see you for the first time and boom, without realizing it or meaning to, I jump to 100 conclusions about you, right? Well, it's that set of conclusions that I jumped to in the first 2 seconds that I was interested in trying to explain and describe in this book.
You were telling me a few minutes ago that the idea was kind of based on a major change in hairstyle.
Yeah, I used to have very, very conservative short hair, and then I let my hair grow out and I had a big woolly afro. And, you know, this has happened to a million different people. It's not new to me, but my life changed. You know, cops started harassing me, and I went from having never had a speeding ticket to having 6 in a year and a half, pulled over by cops on 14th Street because they thought I looked like a rapist, and, you know, and it just sort of made me think a lot's going on based on really kind of trivial aspects of my appearance, but that's having a profound effect on how I'm perceived by the world. And I wanted to examine that and try and figure out why does something like, you know, the length of your hair so dramatically change? And how can you, if you think that's a problem, how can you fix it?
One of the more important notions, if you're going to understand your book, is thin slicing. Mm-hmm. What is thin slicing?
Well, thin slicing is the word that psychologists use to describe this tendency we have as human beings to draw very profound conclusions based on very thin slices of experience. And what psychologists have found as they've studied this is that we do not take a long time to jump to a conclusion. We take, you know, 2 seconds to reach sets of conclusions that can be really quite permanent. So, you know, we now know that when it comes to evaluating their professors, students make up their mind almost instantly and they don't change it over the course of the entire semester. So if you give students a videotape of a teacher with the sound off for 5 seconds, they will grade that teacher, evaluate him or her exactly the same way as they would after a full semester.
I bet bias has a pretty major influence on some of those decisions. And in your book, you were pointing out that even African Americans have trouble making positive associations mm-hmm. dealing with race. There's a test you spoke about called the race IAT. Mm-hmm. Explain what that is and what it showed about some of the racial attitudes.
What it does, the IAT, is it's a test you could take online. And it measures the time it takes you to associate various concepts. So if I'm asked to put something in a category that's African-American and good, do I take longer to put something in that category than African-American and bad? It's hard to explain kind of without seeing this, but it's a very, very simple test that anyone can do in 10 or 15 minutes. And afterward, you do the test, they'll give you a measurement of your unconscious bias.
As opposed to your conscious
bias.
Yeah,
so consciously, you know, I'm biracial. I have the warmest feelings consciously in the world towards black people, right? My mom is black, right? How could I not?
Right.
When I took that test, I discovered that on an unconscious level, I have a kind of moderate bias against black people. Many black people who take this test have a moderate to strong unconscious bias against black people. That's because we live in a society where black things are constantly being paired with bad things. And, you know, it is impossible to live in that kind of world and not absorb on an unconscious level those kinds of associations. And those kinds of associations really matter in the way that we behave around or the kind of conclusions we jump to without thinking or our body language when we're talking to someone who is different from us. And it's getting a handle on these kinds of things that are operating below the surface that I think is a really critical part about constructing a more fair society.
Can this affect the way one acts around other black people, even if you're African American?
We don't know. I mean, this is a brand new field. One of the things that attracted me to writing about this subject is that it's something psychologists are just exploring right now. And we don't know the extent to which these observations that we could make about people using tests translate in the real world. in cases like in the book I talk about the Diallo shooting. And there's a case where there is absolutely no question that the kinds of feelings that those four cops had on an unconscious level, as well as a conscious level, but I'm interested in the unconscious level because we're talking about a split-second decision. They didn't sit and say, it's a black person, I don't like black people, I'm going to pull my gun. This whole thing happened in seconds.
Just for our listeners that don't remember, that was the case in New York City where four white officers fired 41 shots and hit with 19 of them an African immigrant in the Bronx. You point to standardized testing as another place where negative associations with race can affect the outcome of a test. Talk to us about a study where such associations worked against a group of black students.
Well, one of the areas that I talk about in the book is what's called priming research, which says that the way that we behave and perform is profoundly affected by cues in our environment that we may not be aware of. So if I, without you being aware of it, expose you to lots of things that make you think about being old, you will walk slower after you leave the room than when you came in, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a really cool test. Well, you can do that in a kind of real-world setting if you make black students, before they take a standardized test like the SAT, identify themselves as black. They will perform far worse on the test than if you don't never ask that question beforehand. And that is the act of making them sort of own up to what they know to be a concept, a thing, a race that has all kinds of negative associations, affects their performance, affects their ability to kind of, in that, you know, split-second moment, get to the right answer, move on to the next one in an SAT test. It's a way, it's a finding that's so profound that makes you think, first of all, it completely obliterates my faith in standardized testing. If someone tells me there's a huge gap between blacks and whites, I think, all right, tell me something about how those situations in which those tests were performed, right? Because it's clearly not measuring some golden, impermeable standard of thing called intelligence. In fact, they were a reflection of the situation and the environment and the associations and the way in which the test is being administered. But it also, again, takes us back to the fact that there's a whole world of activity going on below the surface. We need to understand that and appreciate it and learn how to deal with it before we can construct a kind of fair and better society.
You talk about all these case studies where people's unconscious overwhelms their rational logic and they make bad choices. But sometimes you say that they make better decisions when they have less information. How can that be?
Because I think that when we're not overburdened, when we are allowed to zero in on the things that really matter, that kind of little computer in our brain works beautifully well. And one of the goals, I think, to making people better at making snap judgments is finding ways to clarify and simplify the decision-making field.
Malcolm Gladwell is the author of Blink, The Power of Thinking Without Thinking. He's also a staff writer for The New Yorker and joined us in our New York Bureau. Thanks so much for coming.
Thank you.
For more on this interview and on Malcolm Gladwell's book, log on to npr.org.